Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, it's Mark here. And before I play, well, most people know these days that we pre-record my conversations just for safety. We all seem to know my technical issues that I seem to have. There's just a bit of news that has news that's happened since I spoke to Dickin. At the end of the conversation, I mentioned the Viva event, and some of you may have heard me mention the Viva event a few times. That's going on here in Spain in November. Something I'm really excited about, the team over here. And like I said, we've got people coming from all over the world for that, from the USA, Denmark, England, Israel, Ireland, just to name a few. But the team have just come up with an idea to make it, we want to make this as accessible as possible for people. And for the month of September, we have decided to create a Viva no-brainer offer. And that basically means that if you buy two tickets for you and a friend, you'll get 3 nights off-board accommodation absolutely free for both people. So if that sounds interesting to you, not only spending time here in sunny Spain, but with like-minded people, then check out the www.vivaevent.com. Check out that website page. And also, Dickin's got a few events going on, so you'll find his email address at the bottom of the page of the Blog Talk Radio show, and he's always available on Facebook as well. I also, some more news, I also mentioned that I interviewed Muji recently. Some people are aware of Muji. I've still not got the recording yet. Muji's team recorded that for me, so I'm going to just chase them up and see if I can get that sorted, because I want to share that with you guys as soon as I can as well. Anyway, on with the recording of Dickin. Hi everybody, it's Mark Jones here again with the Ice Cream for the Soul Blog Talk Radio Show. And it's been quite a few weeks since I've had a conversation with anybody. I've been, that's not a lie, I had a conversation just the other week. I'll perhaps mention that as dive into the conversation with my guest, Dickin Bettinger. And I'm sure many of you are listening know Dickin Bettinger. He's a veteran, Three Principles facilitator. He's been around this for centuries, I think it is now, isn't it?
And I suppose back before there were cell phones, I think.
Yeah, and everything was black and white.
Yep, that's right.
we was laughing before they came on the air because people know I'm renowned for having my technical issues. And then I couldn't even actually speak, couldn't hear Dickin. I had all the setup before, I couldn't hear him. And now I can see him, and I'm not supposed to be able to see him. For some reason, I can see him as well. But anyway, I'll shut waffling, and I'll introduce Dickin. Welcome, Dickin. Thank you again for coming on at such short notice this week.
Oh, it's really great doing this with you, Mark.
So you've, we were just talking before, saying you've had a busy year with family, and where you're always busy anyway, you're in very high demand. So what I'm just curious what you've been up to lately. Have you been traveling anywhere with the Three Principles work?
Well, my last big trip in the spring was spent 2.5 weeks in England, and then a week in Prague, and then a week in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah. It was with Sue Lechman, was it in Jerusalem? Yeah.
It was an amazing trip.
Mm.
And so heartening to see people being so interested in having a deeper understanding of life. And that response, just, it was overwhelming for me.
Mm.
So it was wonderful, and now I have a busy fall. Next week, I'm going to Finland to speak at the first Three Principles Conference in Helsinki in Finland.
Wow.
First conference in Finland. And
Yeah.
then I'm coming home for a few weeks, and then I'm going back to England, and then 2 weeks in Denmark. I'm doing two different trainings there with my good friend Natasha Sverdlov.
That's right.
And then I'm doing going to Finland for a week after that to do a 2 day program.
Lovely. So they're keeping
So
you out of mischief then.
it's keeping me busy. It's hard to keep me out of mischief, but it's keeping me busy.
I've got a mischievous smile. I've got air about you. And well, well, like I said, people know about you from your Three Principles work, and you was one of the very first people that I was impacted by. I think we said this in the last conversation. It kind of, like you just said, you might not phrase it by this, but this is what I heard. Your art is being warmed by the people having an interest for this,
Oh,
and it because.
it still touches me deeply, Morris.
Yeah, and I can honestly say getting just a glimpse of what you guys were talking about like those 5 years ago changed my life. Definitely changed my life. That's the perspective changed of how I'm by no means perfect, Sheila will tell you, but I just feel I'm going through life in a lot more in a
Thank God.
I'm nearly there. I'm nearly there.
I haven't met that person yet, but
Well, I thought you were perfect. You're not perfect. Well,
no.
I'm speaking to the wrong person.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to want to continue with this letter
Well, I'll hang up. I'll hang
now
up.
that the truth is out.
Right. No, so it seems to me, like I say, people know recently who've been listening to these conversations, I just go pretty much with the flow. And you said you was happy to do that before we started the conversation. And it's just come into my mind. I've been noticing lately on Facebook, especially here in Europe, there's been a lot of the refugee crisis going on. And though many of the government leaders seem to be, I don't follow politics too much, but it seems to be that there's people are just welcoming in, like in, I think it was in Iceland, there's like 10,000 people said, we'll bring them, we'll accept them, we'll accept them. And there seems to,
Into their homes,
yeah, into their arms.
because the government said that they would welcome, I think, 50.
50 families or something ridiculous like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just seems to me that there is a rise. Instead of people thinking about, oh, they're going to be here taking our jobs and perhaps the terrorists and all that, people are seeing past all that ridiculousness and really thinking these people need help. And they just seem to me to be arising in consciousness. And I think this is what a big part of the Three Principles understanding does. It helps people just get in touch with their inner self that has that natural compassion for others who are in difficult situations. Well, not just in difficult situations, in people in general. So,
Well, I'm very intrigued by the notion of how true change is actually a spiritual affair. It's not how what people think. And Sid talked about this all the time, that if you want to help and change the world, if you raise your own level of consciousness, that's what impacts and affects and changes the world. And it took me a long time to get a better sense of what he meant by that. That if consciousness is infinite, I started seeing consciousness not as within people, but we're within the infinite field of consciousness. And therefore, if your level of consciousness raises, it's like an ecosystem. As one part of the ecosystem raises, the level of the whole system becomes healthier. And I find that very, very heartening, and it helps to understand how suddenly unexpected changes can happen, or why it is that the overall level of violence in the world keeps going down, which people are very, very surprised to find out about. But it's very interesting to consider how we can have a true impact on the world. By deepening our own understanding, and as our level of consciousness raises, we are literally, literally bringing more love and compassion into the world. I was just reading Sid Banks' book. He was my teacher, and I was rereading his book for teenagers. Dear Liza.
I have not read that one. It's funny. I think I've got that on my shelf. It's one of them that I keep reading others, but not that one.
I know. And I reread it with fresh ears and fresh eyes, and he really talks about how as you tap into this more universal consciousness, built into that is this intelligence or wisdom.
Yeah.
So the intelligence behind life that knows how to create and then operate everything, that intelligence is called an intelligence because it is helping things that are created when it's harmonious, it will move things in a direction of thriving. Like it takes a flower and it will grow it through, right up through craggy ground and rock and then help it move in a direction. It opens up and then turns toward the sun and can turn light into energy so it can keep thriving and growing. And so I like to think that as any of us gain deeper realization into the very nature of life, we become more in harmony with it.
Yeah.
And as we become more in harmony with it, this deeper wisdom then leads us in a direction of thriving, which for human beings mean you become more loving and more compassionate, more creative.
You don't have to do that, do you? A side effect of... I can't think how I used to think. Anyway, little judgments I used to have, or opinions I used to have, for example, about certain issues. I won't go into them because I could list. I think I used to think so differently about that, and I just can't now. It's so alien to who I am now. You know, there's, like I say, by no means perfect, but I'm seeing there's much more compassion here than there used to, for sure.
Yeah,
for the fellow man and fellow creatures or whatever.
You jump to a higher level of consciousness, and there's a different logic there.
Yeah.
There's a different way of seeing there, a different way of thinking, like you're saying there. So it is something, isn't it? It's like, whoa, I can't even imagine how I used to think about that.
Certain judgments said about certain issues and people.
Yeah,
and
hold on to them as if they're true.
So quite often in I was struck, I mentioned it because it really jumped into the forefront of my mind when you was talking about the raising of consciousness, like we're within this field of consciousness. It's not something that is created. It's already there, and we've just, in many ways, we've just got to, I think I heard Bernie Gillespie once say, it's almost like falling back into it. I had an image of just falling back into it and reconnecting with that. And that image of, there's that metaphor of like one candle can light 1,000 candles. You know? And I'm just seeing that many of us would busy shouting, oh, the politicians should do this and the politicians should do that. But many of us do very little ourselves. And I think that's what I'm hearing more and more of. Well, I think I mentioned to you before. Well, I did mention to you before. I was at a Muji retreat recently, and he was going, don't worry about other people, worry about yourself. You know, who was it? Well, Sid said, heal yourself first, didn't he?
I call it altruistic selfishness.
Say that again.
I just made it up, Mark.
All right, I like it.
Altruistic selfishness. It's not egocentric selfishness. It's falling out of ego and having that be a priority. And then this altruistic movement of love and compassion emerges. Mm. So it's an altruistic selfishness, but the self in that selfishness is not of ego, it's big self.
Yeah.
So it's altruistic mindfulness.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. Well, before we came on the air, I asked you if there's anything you'd like to talk about, and I made a comment on Facebook just last week about silence, and you liked it and said, "Oh, I'd like to hear more about that." Mm-hmm. And I'm just lately I've been seeing we don't need too many words around all this stuff. Like, I know it might sound a bit ironic because I talk to people nearly every week. So there's a lot of words there, but I'm feeling the conversations are drifting more back into falling back into the feeling, which really I say this quite a lot, really irritated me when I first heard Sid say, "You're looking for a feeling." How is that bloody helpful? Give me the information here, not this hippie falling back into silence stuff, and you're looking for a feeling. But lately I'm seeing, and it relates again to just what we were saying before about the consciousness. It's not something we need to, it's not something that's outside of us. It's something that we're just enveloped in it in many ways. We're not separate from it, but we're so in our thinking, trying to figure out things out in life, or even about principles, or how can I learn more about the understanding. It seems to me that the more quiet we get and just drop into these kind of conversations without wanting to get too much from them, ironically, that's when you get more understanding in those quiet pauses. I'm just wondering what you've got to say about silence before I give you my recent thoughts on it.
Silence is, for me, a code name or a metaphor for the principles.
Yeah.
They're formless. And so there's no activity in it or no noise in it. It's our essence. Because it's what we are and what lives us. Now, if you look at, this is a new, I woke up a couple of days ago, Mark, with this strong sense that the three principles are three different ways of pointing toward this silent energy out of which all of life arises. So everything is constructed from and made from this silence. Mm. Right? And the principles, if you see the principle of thought as this potential of the mind to create. So every single thought and feeling and perception is created from this silence.
Mm.
That's so we're saying that silence in its very nature is creative potential.
Mm.
And then if you say consciousness is, like we were talking about, not the personal consciousness, but it's the very energy of life is aware or is awareness.
Hmm.
so that anything created in it, made of that silent awareness, will be aware. So every cell that's created anywhere in any universe has a degree of awareness, because it is awareness. And the principle of mind we talk about as the intelligence of this silent energy, because it knows how to create everything that exists and operate it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very interesting to think of silence as creative potential, absolute, universal, or divine awareness, and the intelligence and wisdom out of which all of life is born. Right? So then it makes sense that when our personal thinking, as Sid would say, when it falls asleep, in a sense, all that's there is what's always there, this infinite field of silent awareness. So of course, if in those moments, like you said, I loved how you said it, Mark, that when you get quiet, that's when it's amazing. That's when what you think you're looking for in life reveals itself to you. Why is that? Because built into silence is creative potential, wisdom, this awareness. So we become more awake, more aware, wiser, and more open to possibility and new thinking. And all of that is built in to silence. It is what silence is. So I flip back. This is the first book Sid wrote, the second season, just before we came on the air. And I wouldn't you know, as I sat here before we got started and got quiet, all of a sudden, out of that quiet, I remember a passage in this book that's relevant to what you and I wanted to talk about. You gotta love wisdom, all right? So it says, do you believe in meditation and do you meditate? And he says, yes, I think meditation is a beautiful way to help relax an overactive mind. As for your second question, yes, I do meditate, but I don't do it as a timed ritual. He's asked, if you don't stick to a routine, what do you do? And he says, well, sometimes I look at the beauty of the ocean. Sometimes I take a quiet walk, or I simply sit in my armchair. There is no fixed way to get oneself into the state of meditation. The state of meditation comes when the ego is put to sleep via silence. Now, beautiful. One more sentence here that just blew me away, or a couple sentences. The ego mind, sometimes called the little mind, sometimes I call it our conceptual mind, our ability to create concepts and ideas and beliefs. Right? The ego mind, sometimes called the little mind, depends on activity. When this activity gets out of control, the possibility of a nervous breakdown becomes a reality.
I'm laughing. I'm sure I can relate.
I can totally relate.
Yeah.
Meditation is a silent mind. It is silence that clears the psychic channels and enables you to see life with more clarity. This clarity, in turn, will bring the answers to relieve your anxieties and frustrations, thus giving you a more stable and orderly life.
That's beautiful. Which book is that from, Dickin? I've got that. It's a while since I've read it. I'll need to read. It's a while since I've picked up any of Sid's stuff. I need to go through some of that again. Yeah.
It's fun to do that again, Mark, because given the insights you've been having,
yeah,
and given where you're seeing, you'll hear what he says differently.
Yeah, I know totally what you're saying on that. I've already initially, when I was listening to a lot of these three principles stuff, I was listening to the CD I had of you and George and Keith again and again and again without a break in between. Mm-hmm. And I found more and more exactly that what you just said. It's like sometimes it's good just to go step away from it in some ways, step into nature instead of stepping into the.
Yes.
It's so interesting where you'll, and this is said so often in the three principles word that you'll hear something in something you've heard 1,000 times, but it's so true. It's such, you just see it from an higher level of consciousness, or it's just so beautiful when that happens.
It's helpful to think of listening as a radical open receptivity where you, in a sense, disengage from your little mind, personal mind. You fall back from it, as our friend Bernie says. And in that opening, silence speaks. So I saw a Rumi quote the other day where he said, listen for the voice that has no words.
Yeah, I put that on Facebook as well myself recently.
Did you see that? Yeah. So so Sid would say, listen, which is when you fall out of the activity of your personal mind, because you can't think and listen at the same time. But you're not listening just to what's in front of you. You're listening to or for what silence knows. And so from within, that infinite, creative, wise, aware silence brings you something new and fresh and immediate relevant to circumstance. So that's sort of the significance behind listening for a feeling. You're not listening to try and find that feeling, which ego will go crazy trying to find feeling, because that's then looking for what's already been created. So you're searching in the world of form. It's listening until a feeling naturally arises out of that nothingness. Right? So later in his life, Sid changed it, and he spent a lot more time, instead of saying listen for a feeling, because some people are searching for content.
That's what I was doing initially. I was looking, there was my ego wanted clarity. My ego wanted something. It was I wanted the clarity so Mark could deliver something, whereas I'm seeing now it doesn't pre-warn, it just delivers in the moment, it comes out in the moment. So I'm seeing more and more about that. It's not a personal thing. That's very much
beautiful. It's not personal. It's what Sid called the impersonal mind. Where he said when your personal mind goes to sleep, divine mind begins to live fully through you. It's a little bit like the metaphor of when the clouds part, the sun is the light of wisdom and intelligence and knowing shines breaks through into human consciousness with, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, now I see.
Right?
So Sid would say, this is very interesting, Mark. He said, listen, if you want to find well-being, you're a thought away from it at all times. And then usually he would leave it there.
Yeah.
Right? And one time he said, and do you know what that thought is? And it was like, what? You must be kidding. Okay, I'm ready. Tell me. He said, you know what that thought is? It's the state of thoughtlessness. It's the state of no thought. And he said, but then he had to clarify it. He says, it doesn't mean that you don't have thoughts.
Yeah.
It means you're not listening to or influenced by them. Right? You're not contaminated by your conceptual mind. So some people who have been studying spiritual teachings, that's what Sid is pointing toward, non-dual mind, non-dual awareness.
Yeah.
Whereas the instant you're in your conceptual mind, there's duality. There's me and you. There's getting from here to there. There's better and worse. So I've got to feel better. So if I'm looking for well-being, I don't want to feel how I'm feeling. I got to feel better. So you're waiting for a better state to appear or a better feeling to appear, and you're searching for it.
Yeah.
Right? Which is why if you search for silence from a non-dual mind, or from a dual mind, from your conceptual mind, from your ego, if you search for silence or if you search for a positive feeling, you'll never find what you're looking for.
No.
So he says, so then what you're looking for is the silence of the state of no thought, where thoughts can fly through, but in a lot of Buddhist teaching, they talk about the sky-like nature of pure consciousness. And it's sky-like because the sky has no interest in managing content.
Getting the clouds in order.
It's getting the clouds in order, and I like this bird. I don't like just that wrong. Bird. No. I'm not letting that one come through. It's not the right color. It's making too much noise. I want a quiet sky. I'm not gonna. So
yeah.
It's a different definition of silence. It's not silence as opposed to noise, where you're efforting to get rid of the noise.
Yeah.
It's a silence that embraces everything, and you're just completely at rest in the now, free of the contamination of your conceptual mind.
I'm just reminded there of Sid when he said you can be in downtown New York on a busy Saturday night and be in a state of meditation, and at the opposite end of the scale you can be on your own in a desert, on a desert island with no noise at all and in a storm, which I was at that silent retreat, and I had a few issues on my way there. I think I said in that post that I put. And it was interesting. I was on my way to that retreat, and I was going down on my motorbike, and the bike broke down before I even got halfway there. And I was, okay, I'm in the zone. It's just part of life, you know. It was a beautiful sunset, even though I was still like 700 kilometers away from my destination. I just, Sheila was helping me out with the grua truck, the crane, to come and help me. And I thought, oh, it's okay. It's all part of this is part of the retreat. I told myself, stay.
Yeah.
And I was doing quite well in that moment because of my understanding. I was seeing the irritated thoughts come up. I was letting it pass through like clouds in the sky. But two days later, when the problem still hadn't been resolved, I totally forgot all that.
you know.
And it was so interesting having this understanding, and I use that word, I'd totally forgotten what I thought I knew Yeah. And by the end of the second day, and yeah. I was basically ready for giving up and coming home from where I was. And this woman who was at the retreat, she said to me, just sent me a text, because I was looking. This is just an example of how crazy the mind can be and how busy we get caught up. And she said, I was looking at hiring a car to get from where I was to this retreat. But then I was basically going to have to hire a car for 2 days, for 10 days, but I only need it for like 10 hours there and back, you know. And it just seemed ridiculous. And eventually this woman sent me a text, and she just sent me one text. It said, train ? Bus ? And I'd been so in my head, I hadn't even considered looking into getting on a train or on a bus. And I think that's what points back to when we get so busy in our personal mind, we miss the obvious solutions and the clarity that's always there. It's like, oh yeah, it's just, we've always got that. If we can get quiet, it might not always necessarily come instantly, solutions to problems or whatever, but there's always something that we can tap into that's helpful. More helpful than the personal thinking that I was in at the time, anyway, for sure. So that was, in many ways, that 2 days before I got to my destination was a big part of the retreat for me, in many ways. I saw what I thought I knew just totally went out the window when I got totally entwined in my thinking mind, like many of us do. Yeah. And I also saw, I think, going when you were talking so beautifully about the silence, I nearly said, yeah, that's what I've been thinking. But for a long time, even though it sounds so obvious to me now, I used to think it was just about being quiet. Yeah. Like I said, I would physically, and to anybody externally, sometimes I could be sitting in what looked like a state of meditation, but my mind, like you say, your mind can be so noisy. And I'm seeing that moment, it's just seeing the thoughts and then, like you say, not getting, trying to organize them or diving into them, or just letting them, staying as awareness. I think Muji said something once that really impacted me, that helped me grasp this on a deeper level. And he was talking about confusion. And I'd heard this metaphor said in many other ways, even via the principles or whatever, but you know, sometimes it just, something finally clicks. And he said, when you're confused, there's something that knows you're confused. There's an awareness that sees the confusion that isn't confused. It totally knows there's confusion here. And then that's the place you want to fall back to. It's the same when you're angry. You don't want to be in the angry. You want to just step back into that awareness that's aware of the angriness. You're not going to, in the anger, you're just going to do something stupid, or like many people do.
There's another way of thinking about silence. Listening to you talk about this is that sort of becoming less identified with the content of your thinking and more identified with awareness. Mm-hmm. There's something I've been seeing just, even in the past couple of days, I've been seeing this much more deeply. Because Sid often talked about the illusory nature of thought.
Yeah.
And it just hit me. I was talking to a client, and it just hit me in a way that was different, really, or deeper maybe than how I had heard it before. And I saw the connection between, anytime you see the illusory nature of thought, you are immediately in a field of silence that embraces anything that's within it. So there's no going anywhere. There's no having to escape the noise or to quiet down the noise in order to eventually get to a silent state.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so seeing the illusory nature of thought is is really beginning to see more deeply the nature of thought itself. So from, as we've been talking, Mark, we're talking about this silent, infinite field of creative, aware, wise energy. This silent field, and then this energy, pure energy, condenses into a thought. So you could say, out of spirit, spirit creates condensed spirit. If you see that it's the same thing, it doesn't mean anything in and of itself. So if you begin to see that any thought that's created is not truth, it's a temporary condensation of energy. It's not like I have the thought, oh, I'm so stupid. Now, if I don't see the nature of that thought, I think the content is truth. And that's how Sid defined mental illness, is as soon as you think a concept of any kind is true, you're really going to suffer. Because it's not true. It's an illusion. So when you begin to see the illusory nature, not just of one thought, but of all thought, like that's what happened for, this is what I realized when Sid had his first major realization. Oh my God, all of my insecurity is just thought. Oh my God. He wasn't just seeing that thought creates feelings. That's not the illusion. That's the mechanics of it. The illusion is, nothing that is created is really true. It's just made up. It's arbitrary. It's just a temporary condensation. It's just, it's not truth. It's not truth. So if for a minute people realize the illusory nature of thought rather than of one thought at a time, then you get just a moment's glimpse that nothing you think is true. Nothing. Even your most cherished spiritual ideas are just temporary condensations that are made up that are definitely not true. So one time Sid says, I don't care what you think, it's not true. I don't even have to know what it is. You see? It's not true. Yeah. Truth. You could say truth is that there is only one energy in life. That's truth. That's always true. That's always going to be true, whether in form or formless. That's the principle of life. That's the principle in the sense of that which is most fundamental. So the only thing, this has been intriguing to me the past couple of days reflecting on this, the only thing that gets any human being into trouble ever is that they, at a certain point, they suddenly think that what they're thinking is true. And you immediately start suffering. And I don't care if it's the most spiritual belief in the world, I should love people. You think that thought is truth, you will drive yourself crazy. Right? Oh, I should be loving. Why aren't I loving? I should be able to be loving. And you think, well, that's a very noble thought. And you think, well, but that's true. I should be more loving.
Yeah.
Right? That's a concept. Yeah. You are caught in the limitations of a dualistic conceptual mind, and you'll never find truth there. You'll never find freedom there. You'll never find anything you're looking for there. Right? So if, for example, you get a glimpse that every thought is a lie, is one time George Pransky said to me, Dagan, don't you realize every thought you have is a lie? Because I was pretty convinced some of my spiritual thoughts were true. And I became very arrogant and righteous.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm spiritual. You're not, George. Yeah, you know, you don't even meditate. You know. Oh, it's so funny now. You know, the stuff that I can still, as you said, any of us is prone to suddenly, it doesn't seem like an illusion. It seems like the content is truth.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. You're stupid. This sucks. I shouldn't do this. What a lousy day. I'm no good. I can't do this. I'm so high. I really can see clearly. I'm a great listener. And you begin to see the humor in life when none of it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You begin to see that if none of it's true, there's really nothing that you need to get really involved in thinking about.
Yeah.
Because when all of that apparent truth is not heard or listened to, you don't become dumb and passive. You become wise. You become silent in the metaphoric sense. You become creative, aware, wise, without even having personal thought. You are free of the confines. That's how Sid defined the present moment, is a moment of awareness, free of the contamination of your conceptual mind. Right? So when I've been talking to clients for the past few days about getting a glimpse of the illusory nature of all thought and how absolutely freeing that can be and how suddenly there's a silence that's there that's not the function of thinking a thought is true and then trying to quiet it down and get away from it. And I can't have silence until that happens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is what, for years and years, that's how I saw it, is, you know, I had to withdraw from the world practically. I had to withdraw from my thinking. If, for example, if I have the thought, I look outside and it's raining and I have the thought, oh, what a horrible day. Oh, geez. Oh, God. What a lousy day. Oh, wait a minute. That thought is creating my feeling. I don't want to think that thought. So I'm not going to think it. I'm going to let it go. But it's true. It's true, but I'll let it go.
Yeah.
And then it's amazing how if you think it's true, you can't really let it go.
No, you're just fooling.
Every
fooling
time you look out the window, you're right back there going, oh, shit. Oh, geez, what a lousy day. Oh, gosh. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, God. Or if you have the thought, I'm not good at, or I am good at, even when you don't think it, you still think it's true. So Sid was saying, you want to be able to get a glimpse of the illusory nature of thought. And then you can still have thoughts, but they don't mean anything unless you give them meaning. And you can play with them then. You can play with the illusion. You can have fun with it. You can decide what thoughts you want to play with.
Yeah.
But you're not invested in them as truth. Right? So you don't become wedded to any thought as being truth. So you don't become egocentric, positional, defensive. Right?
That's very, I love talking to you, Dick, you know, like many people do. And that was, in many ways, you said to me before we came on the air, I'd like to hear what you saw about silence. And then I was looking and I couldn't find words. As I was thinking, oh, what is it? I knew I had found something. I'd seen something. There's so many quotes around silence that, for years, it meant nothing to me. I thought, that's just spiritual bollocks, you know, what is it? Silence is golden and all that. And as a child, silence is boring, you know. But I think then it was, I'm just seeing more and more that the silence I'm seeing is like you see, you're in the silence and like you said so beautifully, the thoughts are there, but I don't get, the more silent I become, well, the more...
Yeah.
I fall back into silence, the less grip the thought, the less pull they seem to have. And it's like, it seems to be and then there'll be just one that, like you said, oh no, that's a real, I got very much in my head about the bike. thing issue when my bike broke down. And I was doing exactly what you said. Oh, it's only thought. It's not really a problem. And I'm not really a problem. It is. It's not. It is. And there's almost like a boxing match going on in my head.
That's
and
it.
And then it was only the following day, or sometimes it's not even. Sometimes it can be years before people see that what's been happening. Luckily for me, it was a matter of hours by the end of the Friday.
Yeah.
But it was just so interesting. And the day before, I'd been so clear about when the bike first broke down. It's like, oh yeah, it's okay. And I was more sad. I was more in that silent space then. But then I seemed to get more drawn into. The illusion of being drawn into the thing, because it's not like you said, it's an illusion that you're being pulled into it. It's just, it's all thought. It's all thought. Yeah. So it's still something I'm enjoying.
All thought, and there's nowhere to go. And then this moment, as perfect as it is, if anything you think is meaningless, there is nowhere to go. There is no here, there, better, worse. Good, bad, right, wrong. It just is what is. Sid often said, you want to be able to see what is rather than what isn't. And I swear for years I had no idea what he meant. Even at times though I thought I knew, but because I was wedded to that thought, I couldn't hear anything new for a very long time. Oh yeah, I see what is.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I know. Of course. I read the books.
Yeah. The arrogance gets in our way.
Arrogance.
I hear so often these days of when I listen to, I'm very interested in listening to not only the three principles, not only the three principles facilitators, but some of the wise non-dual teachers. And they all say, I don't know anything. And then they speak with such clarity. I think it just on one level it's going, you obviously know something. I've heard you speak with such clarity. I know nothing. But that's where we keep alluding to. It's from that quietness that the true knowing or wisdom just.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Then not knowing. If no thought is true, then not knowing takes on different. It's different. It's not knowing. You can't. So then it's not a matter of intellectually understanding something, which just means you've made meaning out of something. And it's been hard for people to see that if none of your thoughts are meaningful or mean anything, people are afraid that then life will have no meaning, and I find the opposite is true. The paradox is a spiritual paradox. If none of your personal world has meaning, then the impersonal world becomes meaningful. Mm. The impersonal world becomes meaningful.
Mm.
The part becomes meaningless. The whole becomes the only thing that's meaningful.
Mm.
Because in non-dual consciousness, there's no separation and no parts. There's just all that is. Right? Without a label, without a judgment, without a should. So when we fall out of our conceptual mind, we're falling out of the duality of here, there, better, feeling better, I should do this, I should do that.
Mm.
All of that no longer has an influence on you. So you, in a sense, you fall back far enough that none of those thoughts influence you. And that's what Sid called the now. It's a moment of awareness free of the contamination of our conceptual mind. Mm. The contamination being the apparent limitation, the apparent judgment, the apparent weight of our personal thinking. Right? When you're free of the influence of your personal mind, your relationship to thought has changed dramatically. Right? So Sid says it's really nice to see how the mind works, but at some point you're going to want to get interested in the very nature of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The illusory nature, the way in which the energy of life comes into existence, and it's more like a cloud being created than something of substance, something of truth. Mm-hmm. Non-substantiality. It's an illusion. Or Sid would say, all your memories are not true. They're just ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're just transparent. It's just stuff. It's just made up. It's just arbitrary. It's just a temporary interpretation that has no meaning unless you give meaning to it.
Mm.
It's just a cloud forming, and then it dissolves into nothing. It, as a Tibetan Buddhists say, when you are in that spacious natural state of mind, your thinking arises and then it dissolves naturally, or it self-liberates. Isn't that cool?
Mm.
Isn't that cool? Your personal thinking just naturally dissolves. So there's nothing to it. There's no truth to it. There's no form or substance to it.
Yeah.
It shows up and then it dissolves. And you begin to be more interested in what isn't dissolving.
Exactly, yeah. The silent where that's emanating.
And then the silence then goes from being sort of background and noise foreground, and it flips.
Mm.
And then there is nothing but silence, out of which stuff arises and falls, comes and goes. Right? And your sense of identity shifts from foreground to background. Mm. From the human part of us to the being part of us.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And
in identity.
Sorry. I was just going to say, there seems to be a natural, it's very evident to me, that when a person is very present, they almost glow. I never met Sid, for example, but I've heard people talk about Sid, that when he walked in the room, you could just sense the energy. And I've had that feeling when I've been with my mate Minji. There's just and people like yourself, when you're on the stage, you sense that the person, there's a beauty of that when a person's present. It doesn't even have to be somebody who's talking about this. It can be, I've heard you, for example, talk about your grandchildren. You see grandparents that are totally excuse me.
That's all right.
There's just a beauty there when somebody's present.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be talking about this stuff. It's just in life.
There's something very deep in us that recognizes something very deep in the other person. It's a glimpse of the impersonal. Which is the wholeness of life. It's just a glimpse. So it resonates as true.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get touched. Like you just got touched. You get touched. Mm. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it comes from nowhere. That just, for example, that moment where then there's that, it came from that quietness. It was like, whoa, it's
exactly.
I knew it was true. There was a truth there. It's like so true.
Yeah.
And it catches you off guard, or catches the
It's the breakthrough of new. It's the breakthrough of fresh. I mean, that's one way of thinking about love, is just the breakthrough of fresh, uplifting energy that's very, it carries in a more pure sense, which means less contaminated by your conceptual mind. So Sid would say pure thought is love, pure consciousness is love, pure mind is love.
Mm.
Right? It's just the feeling of being.
Mm. Mm.
So Sid says there's no word in the English language for that. And now I understand that you couldn't have a label for that feeling, ultimately, because you'd have to be in your conceptual mind to label it. So it's the feeling that's there when you're not in your conceptual mind. And all you can say about it is peace, joy, love, bliss, beautiful, pleasant, engaging, connecting.
Yeah.
But those are just words.
Yeah, one person will lay there on the top. There's just so many infinite levels them words can be heard on, can't they, depending on how quiet somebody is.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
A few years ago, that was all hippie nonsense to me, and now I can get very touched when people just mention love and bliss.
I know.
And in other days, I don't. So.
Yeah, oh, I know. Yeah, me too. Me too, Mark.
Yeah. Well, Dickin, it's already been an hour. So
wow.
Well, I'm sure we'll do this again. I just love, like many people, I love talking to you, and I loved having this conversation with you again.
It's a delight, Mark. Just a delight. I was so looking forward to this.
Mark, it was lovely, lovely. I was so, when I said to you, I want to speak to you, and you said, oh yeah, this week. I thought, oh, cool. Yeah. Because so many times people are so busy these days, it's quite often. So what's your next event? Let's tell people where you're up to, where you're going next, did you say?
Well, I'll be at the conference in Finland next weekend.
Right, okay.
So. Which is very exciting, and I'm speaking at the conference, and then I've offered anyone at the conference who wants to stay an extra day. My friend Natasha Sverdlov and I, Natasha and I are writing a book together.
Oh, lovely.
And the two of us are going to do a day for anyone who wants to stick around.
Lovely.
And I really look, that'll be fun.
Right. So they just need to get into, well, they get in touch with you about that, or Natasha about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know it's being posted on Facebook too, if people are interested, but if you can't find it, let us know.
Yeah, when I put this out, I'll put a link to it on there if you want.
Okay. It's called Unlimited 2015. Is the name of the conference, Unlimited 2015. And then I'll be back in Denmark in October doing two trainings that are open. One is sort of, it's something I haven't done for about 5 years, is the application of the principles to business, because I worked for a long time in business.
Yeah.
And then a public weekend open to anybody. I mean, they're both open to anybody, but it's, and then a public weekend. And it's going to be sort of a preview of our book.
All right, cool. I look forward to that.
That'll be fun. So, and then a weekend in back in Finland. So.
Right. Lovely. Right. Well, what have I got to say? I'll get in trouble if I don't say. Well, I mentioned Muji. I interviewed Muji when I was in the retreat, but his team recorded the conversation for me, so I've not got the actual recording yet. So this conversation will probably go out before that one. So Possibly I'll just let people know I did have a chat with Muji. That was an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And we've got the Viva event here, which Supank, which my partner Sheila and myself are organising people from all over the world come into, just to, it's not a conference as such, it just seems, we feel it's more of a gathering. I don't know, I just have the image of when Sid used to talk, I hear Sid used to talk about being on the beach and used to be having barbecues and talking about this stuff. I imagine it being kind of like that, even though we'll be.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to get in touch with me about that, just email me at icecreamforthesoul@mail.com.
Yeah.
That's the four is not four as always. So lovely talking to you, Dickin, and I look forward to hearing about all your stuff, maybe speaking to you again when you've finished all your busyness.
Yeah, good.
Right.
That'd be fun, Mark.
Right.
All right, thanks so much. Thanks so much for setting this up, really.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
Been a delight.
All right, have a great rest of the day.
Okay, thanks.
Bye, Dickin. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.